and more goals. You can say it's becoming a little bit of a theme with La Liga at the moment. 5-2 for Atletico Madrid, 6-1 for Barcelona, just the 4-0 for Real Madrid this weekend. Welcome to Marca English's Eye on La Liga. I'm your host, Mark Mayo, and joining me this week to talk about an absolute bonanza of La Liga activity is a new voice for the Marca English podcast, our social media and writer expert. It is Sam Leveridge joining the show. How's it going, Sam?
All good, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I have a better debut than Jonathan Woodgate.
Absolutely. We always aim for at least a Michael Owen level of debut, I think, in this show. So we'll go through Real Madrid and their win over Alaves first, and then we'll jump down to the title race to see what went on with Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. But as you can probably tell from the title of the show this week, the great Premier League question, because it's kind of been forced back interview with the Champions League. For the end of the show this week, we'll be focusing on La Liga versus the English Premier League, a proper balls out one-on-one, first versus first, second versus second, all the way through to answer that question and work out who really is the best of the top two leagues in the world. In our honest opinion, of course, our humble opinion, always ready for people to comment on the Facebook and the Twitter post of this, and we'll hopefully read some of them out next week if you get some interesting contributions on that. But first, of course, Real Madrid, Alaves. This was it's almost standard, isn't it, when we come to talk about these games, Sam? 4-0 victory, all of the BBC scored, the first time they've all scored since April 2016. Is this enough? Is beating Alaves 4-0 enough for the BBC to really reinvigorate itself and show that it's still the number one force in town?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think watching the game, it was the first time in quite a long time that we've seen all three of them really at their best. And with Bale now fit and Benzema seemingly, well, it was the best game he's had this season, definitely, and for quite a long time last season as well. And with Cristiano Ronaldo suddenly finding his scoring boots again, I think BBC might be starting to come back now and show that there's something to be feared by all, not just in La Liga, but in the Champions League, up against PSG again soon. So definitely coming into form at the right time.
Do you think Benzema, his assists were obviously the talking point here when he got the penalty that Cristiano Ronaldo nicely handed over to him, sort of batting away the penaldo taunts that Ronaldo occasionally gets. Did Benzema do enough to show that he is still the player that Zidane wants him to be? Because, I mean, I don't think Zidane ever thinks that he is going to be the goal-scoring 25-30 goal a season striker. So is, in fact, the way that Benzema played, was that enough to show that he's still what Zidane needs?
I think so. I think he definitely contributed to Bale and Ronaldo playing so well yesterday. I mean, his backheel for the first goal that Ronaldo scored was incredible. It was one of his best moments that I can think of, a bit of Benzema at Real Madrid. But then equally, you think of what he's added to the team and how he has to do it on a consistent basis. And this season, I looked it up earlier, and he's only got 6 assists in the league. 2 of them came on Saturday, which isn't as many as you think, given what everybody says about him. And the people who defend him often say that he's there to help Ronaldo. 6 assists in the league isn't that many when you think that Lucas Vasquez has 7, having played a lot less game time. So I think you have to look at Benzema, and clearly on Saturday he showed that he's got the quality. But is he good enough to do it long-term? Is he the long-term answer for Real Madrid?
Yeah, what will be interesting, because there's been talk about Robert Lewandowski's got a new agent. So he's got Pini Zahavian, who fans of English football in the mid-noughties will remember he basically ran Chelsea for a good few years. He's a man to get a move, which is the sort of idea Lewandowski's going to get. I'm not sure Lewandowski is the same sort of striker as Benzema, though. So for me, Benzema this season hasn't been good enough to seriously, as you say, 6 assists isn't enough for Benzema. We all know that. It's not enough for him to say that you can't go and sign a striker, is it? There's almost nothing he can do between now and the end of the season that says there is no need for a striker at Real Madrid.
Exactly, but then I guess you look at the market and you think, who's there for Real Madrid? I mean, Harry Kane, that people have spoken about, but I can't see him leaving Spurs unless there's a huge offer and something happens there. But even then, Robin Lewandowski, but is he exactly what Real Madrid want? He seems to be more of a target man, kind of strong centre-forward, which Benzema really isn't. I don't know how that would fit in with Zidane's system. And then who else is there really in Europe that they could sign and bring away from somewhere else? Maybe Mauro Icardi from Inter Milan, but it's hard to see what options they've got in the transfer market, really.
Yeah, Icardi for me is more of a finisher. He's a good 6-yard box man, but I think that's almost what Real Madrid have. They have a Ronaldo.
Yeah, with Cristiano Ronaldo,
So I'm not. We'll have to see, keep an eye on that one. But Zidane, after the game, I'll quickly reel off some of his quotes. He said, "Confidence returns with this kind of run. After the match against PSG, we have done very well. We needed a game like that. We have to keep going and believing we have a lot to fight for. That is true, I think, in terms of having a lot to fight for, because La Liga, they are 14 points back to Real Madrid. They don't have any real sign of catching Atletico in that 7-point gap. And Valencia hanging on 2 points behind, but even Valencia's form this season, no one's going to predict they're going to jump Real Madrid and knock them into fourth. So, you know, they go to in midweek, they go to Espanyol. Is this a sort of game that, again, like Alaves, we said, there's almost not so much you can analyse out of a 4-0 win over Alaves. Is Espanyol going to be another situation? They've got a lot of draws lately, the Catalans, but are they really going to be able to hold out Los Blancos?
Well, Espanyol always seems to lose by 5 or 6 when they play Real Madrid. It always seems to be that way, but I think Real Madrid are certainly playing like they've got a point to prove at the moment. I mean, you look at their last few fixtures and they've had 2 wins against teams who've already beaten them this season in Betis and Leganes. So I think they've definitely got something to show. And they're just not just playing for pride, but they want to show their fans that they have got it and get some form going before they face that trip to Paris again. So I think they won't want to slip up. They won't want to take their foot off the gas against Espanyol. And it's hard to see the Catalan team really getting anything from that game.
Yeah, Real Madrid, before they go to Paris, they obviously have Espanyol. That kicks off 8 o'clock Tuesday night, February 27th. And then on the Saturday night, 8:45 Spanish time, Getafe at home. One of those surely has to be the Vázquez Asensio audition. We've had the BBC audition. Is it going to be Tuesday night when he throws in Asensio and Vázquez just to reaffirm or reevaluate where they stand in the team? Or do you think there's even a chance that Zidane won't play them at all and really back the BBC as much as he possibly can?
I think we might see it at Espanyol, given that Asensio will be going back to the club where he spent a spell on loan previously and he was really good there for Espanyol, so it's quite popular. And I can't imagine that Zidane would want to risk playing the BBC in all of these games before the big Champions League tie, especially with Bale's fitness in concerns and everything like that. I think he might want to give them a rest, give them a few days to catch up after that game on Saturday and give Asensio and Vázquez a chance, because they've certainly played well enough in the last few weeks to justify that chance.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Real Madrid, as we say, now 51 points in La Liga, 15 wins out of 25, plus 35 goal difference, which is better than Atletico, even though Atleti won quite big on Sunday night. Plus 56 Barcelona have, with their record of 120 drawn by Barcelona. They just don't let up, and we'll be going on to talk about their game against Girona in just a few seconds' time. The Barcelona coming out 6-1 at the Camp Nou on Saturday night, and this was a game, really, that was hard to predict going into it, in the sense that we didn't know how good Girona were going to be. We didn't know how much they were going to come out and attack Barcelona in their first trip to the Camp Nou in La Liga. And the answer was, after 3 minutes, they were 1-0 up. Porto, who's had a very fine season so far, getting in with the opening goal. However, it just took 5 minutes for Luis Suarez to get the equaliser. Then Messi gets a couple. Suarez completes his hat-trick, and Philippe Coutinho as well on the score sheet with a typical long-range curler from him. Sam, how much can we take from this game? We just said about Real Madrid beating Alaves 4-0. There's not so much you can take. Steamrolling a team like Girona, this is almost what you have when the super clubs play the little boys in a little sense. There's only so much you can learn when it turns out to be a game that's exactly as you thought it would go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at that game, and in the first few minutes you thought we might have a shock on our hands here at the Camp Nou, but it didn't turn out like that at all. And especially that first half, all it really served to show was that Lionel Messi is an incredible player with an incredible talent, and his performance was just insane in that first half. He really turned things around, inspired Barcelona, setting up Luis Suarez and then adding a few himself. It was a great performance from Barcelona, and it showed that they can do it and they aren't in any kind of blip. They've got their confidence back, and that really sets them up well going into the final stage of the season.
Yeah, Barcelona hadn't quite got their goal-scoring boots on in the last few home games leading into this one, so the 6 goals was no doubt a big confidence boost. 2 players who the focus was on massively going into the game were Usman Dembele and Coutinho, as I mentioned. The thing is with these two performances is that, I mean, Dembele didn't play great. He did get an assist. I think he picked up in the second half a little bit. Coutinho scores his great goal, but it's a 5-1. So, I mean, it just kind of ticks them over. Yes, their adaptability or adaptation phase continues, but ultimately, this is a, you know, you don't learn too much, in the sense that they've done well, but not brilliantly.
Yeah, I think especially that second half, it was all about confidence for Barcelona. They were cruising and the result was secure. I think it was when Dembele had a few moments where he showed glimpses of what he can do. But it's just settling into that side and finding his role, getting the rest of the team accustomed to how he's going to play and show what he can do. And for Coutinho, it was a typical Coutinho performance from his time at Liverpool, really. He didn't really contribute that much for a lot of the game. But then when he did, he got that assist and then a typical goal as well, cutting inside and curling it in. So that would do wonders for his confidence and should really help him to integrate into the side and continue that relationship with Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi that's starting to formulate up front for Barcelona.
Yeah, and it does get the sense with Coutinho that he's not, I mean, he's not an attacker. This is the thing that we have to remember with him. He's not someone who's going to come in and score a hat-trick every game. He's never done that for Liverpool or Inter Milan or anyone else that he's played for. So he has got to learn an extra little bit with Dembele because he's an attacker. He can rely on his pace, get wide, put balls into the box. But Coutinho's role is so much more complex. For Dembele, though, I mean, he's obviously had the injury that's cut out a large part of his season, but looking ahead to the rest of the season, do you think it's essential that he contributes a little bit more? Or do you think he can almost get away with having a season of being a bit middling and still claim to be a success going forward?
I think this season he might be able to get away with it because Ernesto Valverde has made it quite clear that he's not going to throw him in at the deep end and be starting him every week in all the big games. He's made it quite clear that he's just going to take it easy and start him in some of the lesser games against the likes of Girona and get him to build his confidence up, get him to build his fitness up. I think with the injury that he can afford to do that. But then I think next season it will be quite important for him, especially before Christmas, to show that he has got what it takes to justify that huge transfer fee. With Coutinho coming in, it might not mean that he's the direct replacement for Neymar as such, as was billed in the summer, but I think there's still a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, he certainly, if it doesn't happen for him this season, then there will be a huge amount of pressure on him next season. And, I mean, I think he has got the potential, because this Barcelona side isn't blessed with huge amounts of pace, and that is certainly one thing Dembele has. So there's a gap in the market there. There's something for him to get into. Just depends if Barcelona and Valverde could get him fit, get him happy and utilise him as much as they can. They go to Las Palmas on Thursday. Always a dodgy banana skin that is going down to Gran Canaria. 9 o'clock kickoff Spanish time, Thursday, March the 1st. Is this seriously going to be a banana skin for Barcelona? Las Palmas is home form of late. Lost 2-1-2, drawn 1 in their last 5. So it should, even though typically going to Las Palmas is difficult, this should just about be okay for Barcelona, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, Las Palmas haven't done well at all this season. They look more in crisis with every week, it seems. But then you look at Barcelona themselves and you look at the players that they're going to have out. I mean, Jordi Alba got booked, so he'll be suspended. Gerard Pique seems to be suffering more with his knee every game. Then there's Nelson Semedo, who was injured as well. Mm. And they were lucky not to lose Luis Suarez, who seemed desperate to get a booking and a suspension to miss the game on Thursday. But then if you do look at Las Palmas' record of late under Paco Gemez, I mean, they've had 3 clean sheets from their last 4 games, which isn't something you expect from them at all. It might mean that they might have their work cut out a little bit more than some might expect when Barcelona travel there.
Yeah, Barcelona still have that 7-point gap over Atletico Madrid, who, as I said earlier, have claimed a rasping victory over Sevilla, and they play each other Sunday, March the 4th at 4:15 Spanish time. Barcelona at home to Atletico Madrid. I mean, Atletico going into this game, they play in at midweek on Wednesday night, they're home to Leganes, so that should be a bit of a breeze for them. We don't need to pay too much attention to that, based on Leganes' recent form at least. They've absolutely killed off Sevilla tonight. As far as I can tell, I didn't watch the game, I must confess, but I've just been talking to you and McTeer, our Atletico man at Marco English. It sounds like Atletico just played their usual game and were clinical as hell. Absolutely picked off Sevilla. Couple of late goals for Sevilla to make it 5-2 as opposed to 5-0, but this really showed that the Simeone style of football is in its absolute complete dominance at the moment, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, we get so used to seeing Atletico win 1-0, 2-1, but tonight they were just unstoppable going forward, and Diego Costa seems to really have settled in his role up front in the team, and he's working well with Antoine Griezmann, who scored a brilliant goal tonight as well. So I think there's definitely something to say for Atletico having a shout in the title race, but when they travel to the Camp Nou next weekend, that could be decisive in who's going to do it.
How do you see it going then?
I don't know. I think it's too hard to predict. With Atletico going there, they're going to want to stay tight and try to play for a draw, maybe even just to keep their hopes alive. But I think really, if there's going to be any hope for Atletico to catch up, they do need to get a win at the Camp Nou, which is a lot easier said than done. But if anybody can do it, then Diego Simeone showed it that he can do it with his team. He's done it a couple of times over the last few years. But it's going to be a hard task.
Yeah, Atletico, they have enjoyed some Champions League and Copa success against Barcelona over the years, you say. But in La Liga, it's not worked out for them. And Fernando Torres and Maxi Rodriguez won the score sheet the last time they won, over 10 years ago now, at the Camp Nou and La Liga. So I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think we've got to accept that Atletico are going to be very Atletico. Barcelona are going to be very Barcelona. That doesn't lend itself to a 5-3-4-4 extravaganza. So
not at all.
Yeah, this is going to be one to sit in and get the chessboard out, because it's going to be one of those games to wait for the maybe only one or two moments of magic you're going to win it. And, I mean, if Atletico win it, 4 points, the gap in the title race will be, with 12 games to go, that'll be absolutely on. Of course, if Barcelona win it, it'll be up to 10, and it'll be really hard to see anyone catching the Blaugrana at that state of the game. So we'll be covering, of course, the all reaction and reviewing that game next week. So we'll move on to the final part of the show now, which is going to be debating La Liga versus the Premier League. So Sam, this conversation really started because there's been a lot of Spanish versus English games in the Champions League this season. And going into Sevilla's game with Manchester United last week, which ended 0-0, a very tight game, which, I mean, both teams can be happy with that, both teams can be unhappy with that. Ray Wilkins, the former England defender, came out and said that if Sevilla were in the Premier League, they would finish in the bottom six. Now, this was a bit of a defamatory statement to have made, really, because Sevilla are a very decent team. They may have lost 5-2 tonight, but certainly would be able to pitch themselves in the Premier League in a good position. However, Spanish teams versus the Premier League teams this season, 1-6 for Spain, drawn 6, lost 2. So 2 wins for the English teams there, compared to 6 draws and no defeats. What we're going to do now is we're going to go through the first versus first, the second versus second, etc., etc., in a hypothetical victory. Who would win? You can have a draw, of course. There's no away goals, but it would be a doubleheader. So it'd be a home leg and away leg, like a hypothetical Europa League or Champions League knockout tie. Obviously, this has to start with Barcelona versus Manchester City. They're the two top teams in the two divisions at the moment. I've said there's going to be a draw in this one because Barcelona, as good as they are, there is that Man City. They've just won the League Cup today, actually. Just got their Pep Guardiola's first piece of silverware at the club. I think they would just, you know, level each other out. Maybe a 2-2 or 3-3 aggregate draw.
I think Barcelona might just edge it. I think it's going to be a very tight game if they did come up face-to-face. But then I just think of Lionel Messi up against John Stones, and I can't see how Messi wouldn't make the difference in that game. I think he might be the only thing that you can tell the difference between the two sides, but I think his quality might just tip it in Barcelona's favour.
Atletico versus Man United is the number two, so I've gone for Atletico with this one purely. This again, very low-scoring game, Simeone versus Mourinho, but I think Atletico would just have the edge in it. But probably in goal-scoring terms, I think Griezmann and Costa is a combination I would rather have than Lukaku and Rashford.
Yeah, that's a good point, but I reckon it would be a draw. I think with the likes of Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez up there, on their day, they can do a good job, the same as Costa and Griezmann can, but it would be so low-scoring that I think it would really come down to the fine margin. I think a draw is the best call for that one.
Yeah, probably a penalty shootout in reality after 2-0 draws is how that one would play. Obviously, they're not in the same competition, so maybe we'll have to wait to next season to see that one. Real Madrid third, Liverpool a third. I've gone for draw for this one, which might be a bit controversial because Real Madrid are doing very well. But if you want an informed goal-scoring European team at the moment, I just can't look past Liverpool.
Yeah, well, completely the opposite to Atletico and United. I think this one would have a lot of goals. I think Real Madrid might edge it. But that's just because Liverpool's defence is even worse than Real Madrid's. I mean, you think of Dejan Lovren trying to stop the BBC. I just can't see that happening, even with Mo Salah and Roberto Firmino scoring the goals at the other end.
Valencia versus Spurs in at number four. Notice so far that the Spanish teams are doing rather well out of this. The English teams haven't been picked to win any of the top three. However, we've both picked Spurs to beat Valencia, haven't we?
Yeah, Spurs definitely. I think they've just got the better squad depth and strength. And I think up against Valencia, they could, tactically and the quality that they've got, they should easily be seeing them off.
Yeah, and the top four battle again in England shows its strength as Villarreal play Chelsea for fifth spot. We've both gone Chelsea. I think you've got experience, you've got a bit more skill, better coach. The Chelsea are surely the team that you're picking this.
Definitely. I think Villarreal will be happy to be there playing against Chelsea. So I think for Chelsea, it's a must-win game. Whereas for Villarreal in a game like that, it would just be, if they could take a draw, they'd be very happy with that. So I think Chelsea definitely.
Yeah, Sevilla versus Arsenal in sixth. And this is interesting because these are two of the most inconsistent teams in both leagues. They're both in sixth when they should really, in their minds, both be fourth, which is very telling in its own way. And I've gone for Sevilla in this because when it's crisis versus crisis, I think Sevilla are in less of a crisis than Arsenal, who are in a massive crisis, in my opinion.
I've gone for Arsenal. I think you're right that they're both hugely inconsistent. But I think on their day, if Arsenal turn up, they're a better side than Sevilla when they turn up. I think it does entirely depend on which kind of team turns up for both of them. So I think Sevilla could easily win it on their day and Arsenal could as well. But I think Arsenal have the better quality in their squad overall with the likes of Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan and some of the players they've got, definitely over Sevilla.
Yeah, we move down into sort of away from the massive clubs as we go into seventh place. Celta Vigo versus Burnley. Two wily old managers, Juan Carlos Unze against Sean Dyche. I've gone for draw for this one.
I've gone for Celta Vigo. I think Iago Aspas and Maxi Gomez, I think they're the difference in the top quality strikers that Burnley just don't have.
Yeah, they're very much a defensive team. Eibar versus Leicester. And again, this is the theme of La Liga at the moment, is that the teams who are the best teams are up there, that the teams with the best individuals aren't. And Leicester, I think, while they're not a great team as such at the moment, they do have the individuals, and I've gone for them to beat Eibar.
Yeah, I would say Leicester as well. I think when you just look at the likes of Riyad Mahrez, if you took a Riyad Mahrez and put him into the Eibar team, I think Eibar would definitely win that one. But I think players like Mahrez and Jamie Vardy, they make the difference.
Yeah, number nine comes in Girona versus Everton. And this really is a mismatch in terms of spending power and club history. I've gone for Girona in this one, you know, because I think they're on such a high at the moment. They're playing the best football they've ever played. Everton, yes, they have quality and it might be why you've gone for Everton. But I think Girona, just with their confidence and with their work rate and everything going for them at the moment, I've gone for them to win.
I certainly wouldn't be shocked to see Girona win, but I think Everton, I think it's just the quality of their squad, and that's a lot to do with the money that they've got to put into it. But when you think of the players in their team, even the likes of Wayne Rooney, who might not be his best, but I think up against Girona, that would be enough to get them through.
Yeah, next up is Getafe versus Watford. And this Getafe have been really hard to pin down this season. So have Watford. Both mid-table teams. I've gone for Watford out of this one. I think that they have the extra little spark. Maybe a low-scoring affair, but I have gone for Watford.
Yeah, like Atletico versus United, I couldn't see many goals, but I think it'd be a draw. I think it's too close to call between the two of them.
Real Betis versus Bournemouth. Both teams 11th in the league, having... I mean, Bournemouth are much happier in 11th than Real Betis are. I think Betis are a better team than that. They should be looking Europa League sort of places. And because of that, I've gone for them to win in this encounter.
Yeah, I've gone for Betis as well. I think their form this season, when they have turned it on, they've shown what they can do. And when they play well, they could easily be competing for a European spot at least. But I don't think they've done it often enough, which is why they're down in 11th. Whereas for Bournemouth, it's a matter of good form of late, bringing them up the table. Whereas for Betis, it's more being lower than they should be.
Yeah, and all of that can be said exactly the same again for 12th place. Athletic Club de Bilbao versus Brighton and Hove Albion in 12th at the moment. I've gone for Athletic, I mean, exactly as we've just said.
Yeah, exactly the same. And I think Athletic, they've got a bit more firepower up front when you look at the likes of Arias Ajuris and Iñaki Williams as well, who can get a few goals, and he's showing that now. I think that would be the difference between the two teams there.
Yeah, it's interesting to know we've done 12 teams so far, and this is, I mean, so far Spain, La Liga's looking good, but this is the thing about the sort of longevity of the league comparing the two, because now 13th place, we get into Leganes versus West Ham. I've gone for West Ham in this one. They aren't a great team at the moment, but I think Leganes, considering their form, I don't think they'd get a win, and I've gone for West Ham.
On current form, maybe not, but I've gone for a draw. I think both teams are capable of playing out for a draw. I can't. West Ham, they've got the quality in their squad, but they just can't seem to put it together into a team, whereas Leganes don't have that quality, but they can play as a team and they can get a result when they need it. So I think a draw.
Yeah, that's kind of why I've gone for Huddersfield to get a draw versus Real Sociedad. Sociedad massively underperforming in 14th at the moment, as we saw last season when they were in the Europa League spaces. But Huddersfield, underestimate them at your peril. They can certainly get a good win at home, and probably lose away, but ultimately for me that makes it a draw.
I think Real Sociedad might just edge it. They've got a bit of quality in their squad, and when they start playing well, they can play some really good football. So I think they might just be able to squeeze past Huddersfield.
Yeah, 15th, Newcastle versus Espanyol. This is a difficult one. Again, it's probably going to be another low-scoring one, I think, if we were to play this one out. But Newcastle, I've gone with. Benitez versus Kike, it would just be Benitez for me.
I think they're two draw specialists, and I can't see it ending any other way, really. I think Espanyol and Newcastle have both suffered and struggled for goals at times this season. I think that would be the way it would end as well.
Yeah, 16th, Alaves versus Southampton. Alaves on track in form at the moment under Abelardo, even though they have just lost to Real Madrid. Southampton, Mauricio Pellegrino, of course, the old Alaves boss, hasn't really taken them very far. They did get a decent point at Burnley on the weekend. I've gone for draw in this one.
I've gone for Alaves. I think their form of late shows that they've been a lot better than Southampton in the last few weeks. I think early on in the season they were awful, but Southampton have just kind of plodded along all season, picking up the odd result here and there to just about keep them safe, whereas Alaves the last few weeks have shown that they've got enough quality in their team to avoid relegation, so I think they might just edge it.
Yeah, and this is the thing, because the Premier League relegation battle very much alive and well, so it's Levante versus Palace next. Levante have dropped off so much, and so have the other teams below them. I've gone for Palace. I just can't imagine Levante getting anything in any game at the moment.
No, I can't see Levante taking anything but a loss from this game either. I think Palace have got enough to see out a result, and with Roy Hodgson, he knows how to manage a game like that.
Yeah, 18th into the relegation places now. Swansea versus Las Palmas. Two teams have changed their manager, had a bit of a resurgence, but Swansea's has definitely lasted longer, in my opinion, and that's why I've gone for the Welsh team to win this one.
Yeah, and the other thing is that Carvalhal has been bringing in some wins for Swansea, whereas for Las Palmas, it's been a lot of draws under Paco Gemes, so I think Swansea would get the result there.
Yeah, 19th next, as we get into the penultimate game of this sort of tie, Deportivo versus Stoke. I mean, Stoke are a much better team than Deportivo, aren't they? Surely Deportivo have been one of the worst teams in La Liga for a while now. Stoke are just having a bit of a blip. They might go down, yes, but still fundamentally a better team than Deportivo.
Yeah, I can't see Deportivo getting a win from anywhere. Stoke are a much better team. They've got much more quality in their squad. So I think this will probably be one of the most comfortable wins of the whole lot.
Yeah, I think this is the relegation battle. This is where it just shows the Premier League's longevity, doesn't it? And finally, Malaga versus West Brom. I've gone Malaga because West Brom, Alan Pardew, can't get anything out of anywhere at the moment. And Malaga, I don't know, I think sometimes they've played all right. Like against Atletico, I think they played all right. Against Bilbao in this weekend, again, 2-1 defeat, narrow. So I think they'll get the win over West Brom in mine.
I think it'd be West Brom. I think the money tells in this one, especially when you look at Malaga. They've struggled for a goal. They've bought a lot of players in January, but they're not good enough to be playing in La Liga, and they're not good enough to get them the goals to stay up. Whereas West Brom, you look at their squad, and you look at Jay Rodriguez and Daniel Sturridge, if he could be fit enough to play for two legs in a game like this, I think that would be the differential factor there.
And what it leads us to is the rather controversial opinion of Eye on La Liga that the Premier League has taken 9 victories from both of our selections. 4 draws you've gone for, I've gone for 5 draws, which means you've gone for 7 La Liga teams to win over their Premier League counterparts. I've gone for 6. I mean, what does this show to you? Does this show that the sort of way that La Liga is structured at the moment, that the best teams aren't doing very well because it's Girona and Eibar, etc., higher up the table rather than your Sociedads and Betises, who have arguably better players? I think for me it shows that the money has trickled down so much more in the Premier League, hasn't it? The quality of Swansea, Palace, Southampton and Stoke squads, it's just an extra little bit. They've all got their £10 million, £15 million man, whereas Levante, Las Palmas, etc. can't even dream of having that, can they?
No, I mean, you look at those sides and you look at the players that they've signed. I mean, Malaga, for example, signed Borja Bastón, who couldn't get in the Swansea team last summer, and they spent, how much was it, £15 million to bring him into Wales. And he's ended up going back out to Malaga and failing again there. So I think the money is a big factor. If you put all of these teams on the same money, the same kind of budgets, then it would be an entirely different story. But when you're pitting teams like Girona up against Everton, Leganes up against West Ham, I think there can only be one winner overall.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially considering for the top teams, we have generally gone for La Liga. So as I say, if anyone has any fierce opinions on whether we were right or wrong on this, let us know on the Facebook and Twitter, and maybe towards the end of the season we'll revisit this as maybe some more Champions League clashes between La Liga and Premier League teams, and I'll get the opinions of Ewan and Jason and the other people to appear on Marcus' Eye on La Liga. And that is it for this week then. Thank you very much for joining us for your debut, Sam. It's a nice nice debate that we got going there in terms of the two leagues.
Great. Thanks for having me, Mark.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week to review Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid. It's the top of the table clash that almost no one predicted it would be at the start of the season. Sunday, March the 4th. Get on Marker's English page for that. And we'll be back next week to review it. We'll see you then. Thank you for listening.